I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Verifying.
Welcome. The noon hour is here, and it's time to talk about the teams you love with the guys you know and trust.
Yeah, that's right. We are the best.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
You sucking on a helium balloon back there? What are you doing?
Hey, Lloyd.
How did you check it out?
You had a weekend, Lloyd.
Oh, my gosh. Holy cow. What was like a 20-year school reunion and things got a little loose, or... What?
Oh, please crack that mic. Please crack that mic.
Oh, my gosh. I love Mondays. Oh, they're good.
Lloyd's been through it a bit. That voice isn't...
Band's back together, though.
Pretty much non-existent.
The band is back together. I was telling Lloyd, I feel like the Delta variant and the Omicron variant had a baby and then jumped up his nostril.
But you didn't eat no Rona.
It wasn't the Rona, but as sick as he was, it was like he had four or five different types of Ronas.
Even the Rona's looking at this like, man, we don't want no part of that.
But Lloyd, did you get some love from our listeners? Scotty and I were asking for our listeners to send you some love.
Love and support.
I'm just hoping that you felt that love from okay.
Is any of this going over the air? Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, you're not putting your voice on the air? Oh, man, you're shortchanging everybody.
People need to hear the dulcet tones of Lloyd Cole right now.
Lloyd, you sound pretty beat up, but you look good, bud. You look good. And that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Hey, I got two things for you, though, Lloyd. Look, and this should help you. I brought Xavier's board, his surfboard, and guess what made it for, what, 5 days now? 6 days?
Yeah. Oh, you got him a birthday cake?
The birthday cake.
You know what? And I really tried to steal that away from him, too, because those are my favorite. So I actually was...
Look at that. Take heart, bud.
I was not willing. That was hands out of the generosity. That did not come from me, because I was not...
Very... No, I know it wouldn't come from you.
Was that over the air? Yeah!
You sound like somebody, and I want to say it, but it's just... It's too edgy. It's just too edgy. And Scotty and I, ever since you invited the Dallas people on, Scotty and I have made a recommitment to bettering our name again.
And trying very hard not to lose our jobs.
And I don't appreciate the prank you pulled on me. Not funny.
Whoa, what did he do?
When he missed the day, I called him. I was like, hey, bud, I need this audio put in because I did something. I think it was the dog thing.
Okay, yeah.
Remember the dog that snuck into that dude's bed?
Yeah.
And I sent it to him, and he's like, I'm out today, man. I said, what? Oh, suspension. And then I was like, for what? He's like, oh, building that promo.
So really?
Lloyd got his payback.
No, it wasn't even close. I could have made it so much better.
Oh, no, it was pretty bad because I felt like I was the whole reason that you would have been suspended.
Oh, you would have been.
You just don't see a lot of suspensions in the world of radio. It does happen.
It does, every now and then.
But typically, it's either, hey, we got to let you go, or...
It's either you're getting fired, or we're just moving on from it.
Yeah, nowadays, there's just not a lot of suspensions. So, yeah. Lloyd had me pretty freaked out. Scotty, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Good. Yeah, ready to get going, man. Busy weekend, a lot going on. And, of course, I know that we got a lot to break down. A lot of sports.
A lot of sports, man. Holy moly. What a busy sports time.
These playoffs have not gone the way that I thought they would have.
So. Hey, before we jump into it, so Lloyd, I went up and talked to Kyle Whittingham about his players that are on the 60 and 60 list. So we've got to figure out a few things because there's a few more that he's added. And when I say a few more, I mean six. So what we got to do is figure out what six we're going to take off. And one thing I brought up to Scotty. Scotty, have we talked a lot about Gabe Reed? Carini Reed's brother, the transfer?
We haven't spent a lot of time talking about him. And unfortunately, we probably should have.
So
I'd forgot. Frankly, I'm going to admit. I'm going to be honest. I forgot about Gabe.
When I was sitting there and I'm like, all right, Carini Reed, Clark Phillips, going through, you know, some of the big names. Yeah. And he's like, so.
Just going to forget. No, he's not. He's not. He's not on the roster yet.
Yeah, so Kyle didn't take that as an excuse. So.
Well, wait, they haven't announced him yet, right?
I don't know. I doubt it. So I really don't even know.
I mean, we'll add him, probably.
I don't even know the situation.
But if you're getting flack for it, obviously it's going to happen.
And by the way, didn't get flack from Coach Whittingham on it. He didn't even mention it. But people that are close to the University of Utah were like, oh. So that's another name that we've
this
got
60
to,
is a nightmare. I'm not going to lie. We've had
Diabate. You got Muhammad Diabate.
Yeah.
Florida transfer.
Madison is, she's just texting me right now like, hey, you got your ballot ready? We're ready to go. And I'm like, oh, Madison, we're working on it.
Out of all the years.
Yeah.
This has been a rat race.
We got this massive, colossal marketing arm of Bonneville Communications ready to swing this heavy sword of the 60 and 60. And they're like, hey, we're ready to go. Let's go. Go, 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 go.
And we're like,
hold on. It's hard.
I think they just got another transfer. And one of the coaches is asking me to put the transfer on the list. So there's some really good transfers, though, this year. Some really good transfers. You know what we ought to do? I saw a couple different suggestions. Me, you, and Lloyd should put together a Transfer of the Year award.
Okay.
And a Freshman of the Year award.
All right.
Predicting
and then do it at the end of the year?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So take the group of freshmen, because freshmen are not on the 60 and 60.
No.
And then take our group of transfers. And before we kick off the season, we still got a few months. Are we under 100 days now?
Not quite, but we're getting there.
Got to be 150, maybe?
I think it's probably in the 130 range.
Oh, wow. We're shaving off days quickly.
Yeah.
But when we get closer, and maybe we've got a week or two into camp, Lloyd, the three of us just got to pick. We'll put all our freshmen together that we're going to see for Utah State. BYU, Utah, we could throw in Weber State and Southern Utah. There's a freshman that is really standing out. Then take all of our transfers that are going to show up, and we make some predictions, and then at the end of the year we give out. I think this transfer thing is just so interesting. You know, we just brought up Gabe Reed, but we could throw in a handful of others for both Utah State and BYU that have made huge noise through spring ball, through the transfer portal, and their commitment alone have brought a lot of attention to these universities. I thought we'd have a little bit of fun with it.
Yeah, no, because there's a, because I remember last year when we did our, kind of the fantasy draft we do before the start of the season.
Uh-huh.
And I remember thinking wide receivers. And I remember thinking, I think Devin Tompkins is going to have a big year. Obviously I didn't think it was going to be what it ended up being, but I'm like, with what they're saying they're going to do, what this offense is going to look like, I think it's going to fit really well with his skill set. But I still didn't have the guts to like I said, like Gunnar Romney or something like that.
And he ends up grabbing every record at Utah State.
And was the, you know, just obliterated all kinds of things. And so, like, there's some I think, you know, we do, like, maybe our top three or four transfers. Because I think, obviously, you know, freshman of the year, I think we're all leaning at a running back at the University of Utah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. No. Well, yes. If Fauna was healthy at BYU, I just don't know where the knee situation is, but what I saw from him was the most impressive thing I'd seen from it. But is he a true freshman? I don't even know. Is Logan? He's a return missionary, I believe.
Well, as long as he hasn't used a year of eligibility, I'd say he's.
And I don't think he has.
Or even redshirted.
I don't think he has. I think that he left on a mission and then committed to BYU, and I think this was his first spring ball that he got injured in. But, yeah, I think outside of that, yeah. Unless you know anything at Utah State that's...
As a true freshman, no.
That's bubbling him.
No. But transfers, I think there's a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, bunch that are going to hit.
Look, I think Chris Brooks at BYU, that's his name, right? The kid from Cal?
Correct.
I think, but the one I was leaning at is... There's a kid from Maryland who's going to play wide receiver at Utah State that nobody knows anything about, but his name's Brian Cobbs, and I think he's not going to put up DT numbers, but I think you can slate him for anywhere from 900 to 1,100 yards receiving this year.
Well, I think Gabe Reed at Utah is going to be fantastic. I don't know what they're going to do with Houston Haimuli. I don't know how BYU is going to use him exactly. I know that he's a very usable component. I just watch his functionality, and I know that offense, and I just think to myself, how do you maximize a guy like that?
Yeah.
Houston might do a lot of things, and we might not hear his name. Like, Mason Wake does a lot more than what he gets mentioned for. And Mason Wake gets some attention because he jumps guys. But Houston Haimuli in that BYU offense is kind of like, oh, I think he might do a lot of things we just don't see and don't talk about.
And that's the thing. I mean – as a guy who played a little fullback back in the day, you do a lot of stuff out there, and you're part of a lot of stuff, but when you look at the stat line after a game or a season, you're like, well, he didn't do anything.
You're kind of a glorified offensive line.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah. So you kind of fit in with the offensive line, but then when you get the carry and, you know, you get the 1 yard, then everybody cheers, Moose, you know, and everybody's like...
Daryl Johnson reference, nice.
Yeah. And then everybody, you know, and then you get that moment of recognition, that's about it.
Yeah.
But at least your only recognition isn't when you get a holding call, like an offensive.
No, that's true. All right. This is going to be, this is by far the hardest. And frankly, I know Utah State's still poking around a little bit. We might have people, impact players, still be added throughout the summer.
Yeah, we could. That's just how the
world is. So we're just going to have to be like, hey, as of May, 20th, this was our ballot. And if somebody ends up adding a superstar in June or July, it's just like, hey, look, we're not reshuffling this thing.
Yep.
Sorry.
Hey, Lloyd, one other heads up. So I was talking to Coach about Zamaya Vaughn. And I was like, hey, you know, Zamaya Vaughn. And he's like, oh, somebody did their homework. And I said, yeah, that was me. So if he's mentioned...
Whoa. How many times did I have to say Zamaya Vaughn?
So if he says, if he mentions anything to anybody, I may have just been like, well, yeah, I've put a lot of work in. No, I didn't take credit for it. I didn't.
Lloyd was like, he's not that good.
Really?
Yeah.
Lloyd was like, oh, come on. Okay. I was the only one who was like, Zamaya Vaughn, for real, guys? You sure about this?
That's funny.
But I'll tell you, that kid has got a lot of accolades. People around there love him.
Let's see here. Where was he at tackles-wise last year? But, yeah, no, he did some. A freshman, 25 tackles. Had a few TFLs in there. Even had a sack.
Yeah.
Well, half a sack. All right, Hans and Scotty, let's get to it. Starting lineup right now, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Starting lineup right now here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, all brought to you by Peach Windows and Doors, Utah's premier door window and door retailer, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
Hey, would you consider Jimmy Butler a top 10 player in the league?
He's on the edge.
He's probably right there, isn't he?
Yeah, depending on what kind of mood he's in that day.
Would you rather have Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum?
Oh, Jason Tatum.
He's a beast, isn't he?
Yeah.
And a little bit younger, I believe.
Yeah.
Might have a little bit more left in the tank. I was just looking at this, the final four teams left in the NBA playoffs, and you know, their marquee player, because I'm kind of hung up now on this marquee player thing, and can a team do it without a marquee player? And I don't know. Like, I was looking at Boston, and I was thinking to myself, Boston might be that team that could go win it, and somebody could argue there's not a top 10 player on that list, but I do think that Jason Tatum is right on the edge. I would say that Jimmy Butler's probably in there, because I know Jimmy Butler finished either fourth or fifth in scoring.
Yeah.
And I think Jason Tatum was in the top 10 in scoring. So I don't know. I don't know if you can even look at the four left and say they don't have a top 10 player. Obviously, the two out of the West have two of the best in the West in Steph Curry and Luka Doncic. But I'm still waiting for that day that an NBA team plays as a team without the top 10 player. Because we went through it. Giannis with Milwaukee, LeBron with the Lakers, Kawhi with Toronto, Steph and Durant with Golden State, LeBron with the Cavs, Steph with Golden State, the big three with the Spurs. Like, yeah. You've always got the dog that wins the championship.
I mean, the only one you can really point to, and everybody goes to it, were the Pistons in 04. I think it was 04. And, you know, they still had Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace, who's, you know, arguably one of the best defenders in the history of the league.
But at that point,
they weren't really top 10 guys.
Right?
But even then, you needed Shaq and Kobe to absolutely hate each other, Karl Malone to shred his knee, and Gary Payton to be 87 years old. Like, there were a lot of things that needed to fall in place for them to win that title.
Outside of that, Scotty, I think that we've got ourselves a nice Eastern Conference and an excellent Western Conference series put together. I actually, watching what Dallas did last night to Phoenix, it actually padded the blow a little bit, watching the Jazz be eliminated the way they were.
Yeah.
Because Dinwiddie reminded you, and I get it, the Jazz lost a couple of times without Luka Doncic on the court. I totally understand it, but don't you feel like Dinwiddie kind of showed why last night? 30-point performance, doing what he did defensively. At about that 8-minute mark in the first quarter, when Dallas was like, we're sick of Phoenix scoring. This isn't fun to watch them score. Dallas went on that crazy defensive press that they did against the Jazz, and it looked like somebody had put a plastic bag over I'll just say some insects and took the air away from them. Like, it was pretty impressive what they did defensively. They smothered them. See, my commitment to doing better.
Yes, there. I like it. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Spencer Dinwiddie, he had a clause in his contract that if he makes the Western Conference Finals,
yeah,
he gets $571,000.
Nice, cool half a mil.
So that 30-point performance last night, I was motivated. You know, he's calling his wife. She's like, we really need to remodel the kitchen. And he's like, I'm playing a game. She's like, I looked over your contract, and the general contractor is going to be out here on Monday.
Money spent.
He's like, she's like, just know, like, you need to play well today. By the way, Spencer Dinwiddie tweeted out, retweeted that, and it's a good day. I just got to say, it was a good day.
Yeah, I'm sure. $500,000-some-odd, that's a pretty darn good day.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, though? There's always plans for it.
Oh, yeah. No, that money's spent. You're right.
Uh-huh. Because you do extra stuff. You know, you've got your Utah State thing.
Yeah, we all have a couple little irons in the fire out there.
Mama knows how much.
No, she does a good job.
I know when I go do those national calls on those bowl games, Mama knows.
Like, hey, I'm just doing this for experience.
They're
paying for travel, but that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's just all they're doing is comping some stuff. That's it.
There was a member of this staff who was no longer on this staff. Long time ago. And if you try to guess, I'm not going to admit to it. But there was somebody who did some of this bonus work and for like, you know, some other stuff that we do. And he always wanted it. And they had an option. You could put that into your regular check or they could cut you a separate check. And he's like, always go the separate check.
The extra fund. The extra, extra fund.
Because Mama doesn't know about the separate check.
Luka Doncic was spectacular.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Dinwiddie, and he was great. And I think that Dinwiddie has really been one of the catalysts, kind of behind the scenes things that's making this Dallas Mavericks wagon churn a little bit. But Luka Doncic became the first player in the last 25 seasons to equal or exceed an opponent's scoring in a half of a playoff game. That hasn't happened 25 years, and I don't know if it's happened before then. I think that was as far back as they'd gone in recognition of that. 25 years, you've never had a single player match the output of an entire team in a half of a basketball game in playoff play. Haven't had it.
Yeah.
Luka Doncic did it.
Jeez.
I love Luka Doncic. I love him because he's a jerk, and he's an actor. He's theatrical. But I think he's got some of the Kobe Bryant characteristics. I think he's got some of the Michael Jordan characteristics, where he doesn't mind being the heel, the thorn, the jerk. I don't think he really minds putting a finger in a teammate's face as long as it leads to wins. I don't think that he cares about the political standing of things. I think that he just wants to win. And I have been waiting for that athlete to come back to mainstream sports for a long time. The guy that just dogs on everybody and makes a big scene and argues with teammates and back and forth with coach. But at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, he's winning. That's the guy I like. That's the type of basketball player I like.
Well, he's running roughshod through everybody right now, and he's got a bone to pick. And the thing is, there's a whole lot more to his game that he could develop. Like this dude, you know, and I always feel hypocritical talking about stuff like this, but this dude shows up every year to camp to get into shape. He doesn't show up in shape. He shows up to camp to get into shape. And, you know, if you talk about Kobe and Michael, if he takes some of that off-season workout regimen that those dudes implemented, then holy smokes, he's going to another level after that. And so, but remember, he's like 22, he's still like 23, 24 years old.
Yeah. He hasn't gotten into the whole, I got to put $2 million back into my body just to
get it. Yeah. I don't think he's at that point yet.
No, his body just reacts every time he asks it to.
And so the next level or two that he takes, my goodness, watch out.
Jalen Brunson was good too. I know Jazz fans, sorry. I know that gives you a bit of a panic attack.
Well, here's the
maybe
thing.
Maybe a bit of a relapse.
No, I think Jazz fans are fired up about it because you don't want Jalen Brunson to go into the tank after he scorched you. You want him to go on and continue to tear through everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and make it seem like, you know, I think Jazz fans were more upset when Dallas went down 0-2 and everybody was playing like garbage because they're like, oh my gosh, this team schooled us. Yeah. And now they're getting ran off the court. Now they came back and win. You're like, okay, well, you know, maybe we should rethink them things. Maybe we shouldn't be trying to blow it up.
Well, and that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
You know, when Dallas goes on to win 4 of 5 games, 4 of 5.
Yeah.
And doing what they did in game 7, I think that that should force all of us just to pause for a second and say, all right, okay. And a lot of it's just what they do defensively. When they really want to press, they're pretty spectacular defensively. And then I think the other part of it is Boban.
Yeah, sure.
Is he just a
I don't know, showpiece? But I'd love to have him on my roster just because I think everybody loves him.
Everybody loves him, but what is he?
Just help it. Well, here's the thing. I mean, they're going small ball, and so there's really not a place for him.
Right.
And I don't think that was their intention throughout the course of the season. But as the season evolved,
yeah,
his role got immensely diminished. And so now they're just like, hey, man, can you wave a towel and make a joke and keep the locker room loose? Because he's great at that.
And he is special. Like, there's something about him. Everybody, yeah. He's endearing.
Yeah.
And I think we've got a story about him in Sports Roulette later today. But this Dallas Mavericks team reminded us through these five games and the four wins through five, they reminded us why we should maybe be a little less panicky or a little less knee-jerky about this Utah Jazz roster.
Yeah.
I'm not saying run it back. I'm not. It needs to be better because Dallas is only going to get better. I don't think Dallas is going anywhere.
And no.
I think guys love playing around Luka, and I think everybody loves to play for Mark Cuban. At least it seems like.
I don't know why you wouldn't.
It seems like he really gets his players back, and he loves his organization more than any owner I know.
Yeah.
At least appears to love his team more than any other owner I know.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
I would.
Maybe Ballmer, because Ballmer is kind of a strange guy on the court and waving his arms, but he loves and supports him and loves and supports his community too.
Well, and I like a owner who just kind of, now this is definitely not Mark Cuban, but I also think Mark Cuban practices a lot of this where it's like, what do you need? I'm going to let you do your job and then get the heck out of the way. You need this, you need this, you need this. Okay, great.
Here it is.
But other than that, I'm not sitting in your meetings. I'm not hanging out with you. I'm not pretending like I'm one of the guys. Like I'm going to give you the resources you need, and then also understand I don't know anything about the NBA, and I'm going to let you do your job.
And I'll fist bump you at the end of a win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's a difference there.
And as a GM and as a coach, that's what you desperately want. And I think Mark Cuban, for his being as bombastic and out there as he is, but I also think there's never been, as far as I know, Mark Cuban falling in love with a guy in a draft or in free agency and saying, we're getting that guy, and the GM saying, no, that's a bad idea. And Mark, I don't care, we're doing that. I mean, here's the thing. You've got, who's the assistant coach that was the Jazz that you've referenced?
Igor.
David Locke's buddy. Kokoskov, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Kokoskov's with the Suns. He's the head coach of the Suns. And they can draft Luka, and they don't because their owner overrides him, and they go with DeAndre Ayton, who's a fine player, although I don't know. There's a lot of stuff rolling out about him now, but they overrule him. They go with DeAndre Ayton, and Kloskov's like, wait a minute, that's my guy. I coached him over in Serbia. Like, I know this guy. We got to take him. He gets overruled, and now he's on the Dallas bench just smiling, being like, I told you guys. I told you. So, I could still be your coach, and we could still be winning.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Igor is now with Dallas,
yeah.
Who is with Luka, and who is now in the Western Conference Finals. We all know – we knew Igor was a mind.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling that he was a lot of push behind some of Quinn Snyder's success, early success, and Donovan Mitchell's early success.
Well, I mean, both those individuals have admitted to as much, yeah.
And – now watching him out there with Luka, and the anger and the design is pretty incredible. By the way, that is – that 30-point halftime deficit is the largest halftime deficit in a Game 7 in NBA history. Game 7.
Wet the bed like that.
And you mentioned Ayton. There's something going on. 17 minutes for Ayton is not –
maybe the Suns knew what they were doing when they didn't offer him a max contract in the offseason.
Yeah. Have you read any more into that? Because I'm trying to figure out exactly what's happening there because he's such a special talent.
Yeah.
But anyways, devastating loss for Phoenix. Incredible, impressive win for Dallas. And now we get a Golden State-Dallas Western Conference Finals.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Coming up a little bit later on the program, remember Good, the Bad, the Ugly at 1:30. Spin the Wheel at 2:30. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz. How big a problem is the lack of production from the starting lineup versus how big a problem is the lack of production from the bench? How much do you see the starting five as the issue, and how much do you see the bench as the issue?
I've never been the biggest believer that depth matters in the playoffs. A lot of people in the league will tell you that depth matters in the playoffs. This year's playoffs will lead you to believe that depth matters in the playoffs. Miami's gone really deep because Kyle Lowry's injury. Dallas has gone really deep. Memphis has gone really deep. Golden State, frankly, has gone fairly deep. So it does seem that depth matters. When you say lack of production, this is where things just get hard. We're the number one offense in the league this year. So lack of production in the playoffs? So now you're talking about the difference from what Draymond talks about, right? There's 82-game players and there's 16-game players. And I thought there was something to that. That's something that has to be analyzed.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty, 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. By the way, a little bit of breaking news coming down the wire. We will get to that coming up here in just a moment. But right now, it is time to qualify a listener for the Uinta Golf Major Championship Giveaway. All right, so be calling number 12 right now, 855-340-ZONE. That's 855-340-ZONE. And Lloyd will assign you a golfer. It may not sound like Lloyd when he talks to you, but trust me, it's Lloyd.
It's Lloyd.
It's Lloyd.
You might think you're talking to Kermit the Frog. Reporting live.
That was a little unnecessary.
Old smile, Lloyd. You can't prank me the way you prank me and then act like the world's okay.
Okay, here's the thing.
Stop. That's all it needs.
I'm just saying, if we've got our scales of pranking, it's still very much pointed your direction.
This was heavy.
After that last one you did, that you alone did, and nobody else.
I had the only part played. I am going to take full responsibility. I'm not letting you or anybody else suffer for that.
Nate did take it to an 11, though.
Oh, 20.
All right. You, my friends, get assigned a golfer and your golfer wins the PGA Championship this week, you will win the same brand of putter as that player. It's the Uinta Golf Major Giveaway right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. All right. You know we're not supposed to, we try not to pick favorites. We try to treat everybody equal. But there is somebody that I have developed a really good relationship with over the last, 20 some odd years of doing this sports radio. So when I was working for a radio station up in Logan, going as a college student and doing pre and post for Utah State games, Stu Morrill was head coach up there, and Stu was doing some great things. And every now and then I'd fill in and help out with coaches' shows and things like that. Well, Stu didn't necessarily want to work with the college kid or didn't necessarily have time for some of the coaches' shows. So I would hang out with his lead assistant, who was that time Randy Ray. And Randy always treated me with complete class, was one of the best dudes out there. Well, Randy then ends up leaving Utah State to become an assistant with Ray Giacoletti at the University of Utah. And they have that one big year, that first year where they make it to the Sweet 16. Well, the Weber State job opens up, and Randy Ray becomes the head coach at Weber State. This is like 05, I want to say, 17, 18 years ago. Well, Randy Ray, after 17, 18 years, won 5 regular season titles, went to 3 NCAA tournaments, the all-time winningest coach in not only Weber State history, but Big Sky basketball history.
Jeez.
Today is retiring at the age of 61. This, not an official announcement yet from Weber State, but this is from Jeff Goodman, one of the better basketball or college basketball guys out there. So if Jeff's reporting it, it's going to happen. And congratulations to Randy Ray, and he is... this is certainly well deserved.
61 years old.
Yeah.
So still very young. And it looks like I do wonder a little bit, and I would love to have an opportunity to talk to him if that were able to happen, and ask him if the ever-evolving landscape of college sports is something. Because 61, You still got 8, maybe 10 good coaching years left.
Or, you know, got enough money in the bank and you're just like, I'm done.
Or you could do that. Yeah, and like I said, you could be kind of looking at the transfer portal and name, image, and likeness.
Yeah, no.
And, you know, being the head coach at Weber State right now is tough because you're going to start feeling like, oh, man, we develop a Damian Lillard now. Does Damian Lillard stay? Or does Damian Lillard decide he's going to move on to Kentucky?
Yeah.
You know, Scotty, it's just a different world that we're dealing in. So I can understand if that's the case, but 316 wins as a coach at the college level.
By the way, according to Jeff Goodman, that assistant coach Eric Duft, D-U-F-T, that's currently on the Weber staff, will be promoted to becoming the head coach. So they're not doing a search. They're going to promote from within and let one of their own take over that program. And that's probably important, too, with recruiting. And we talk about transfer portals and stuff like that. You got to be really careful because if you do a mass hire and it takes 3 to 4 weeks, guys start, you know, they've got a really good roster up there at Weber State. And, you know, when there's some turmoil with coaches and your guy's leaving, then all of a sudden other programs start sniffing around saying, hey, your coach is leaving. You don't know who they're bringing in. It's waiting 3 weeks. You know, come on, let's go. And I know the deadline may have already changed, you know, to have already passed to hit the portal and be eligible for next year. But that doesn't mean guys still can't hit the portal and move somewhere else.
And I think where the program is, and I know that they have missed the NCAA tournament for a little while, but, you know, I know that's a very tough goal in the Big Sky, typically a one-team bid. And, you know, you look at the Weber State putting together 20-plus win seasons in just this last season. You got 20-plus in 18, 20-plus in 17. You got 26 wins and an NCAA appearance in 2016. So I think that Coach Ray has done a fantastic job of just putting together a reliable program that gets the wins they're looking for.
Yeah. Only had, in his time at Weber State, only had one losing season. And that was 2014-2015 when he went 2000 or when they went 13-17. Remember, this is also the man that found, developed, and worked magic with some guy named Damian Lillard. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Damian Lillard's going to have some things to say about this. Had a 30-win season back in the 2012-2013 year. I mean, this is one of the better coaches to ever coach here in the state of Utah, honestly, in my opinion.
So, do you think having the transfer portal the way it is now, do you think that you keep a Damian Lillard around?
Well, Damian Lillard was – they were trying to poach him back then. And now, granted, Damian didn't have the opportunity to –
the free transfer.
To be immediately eligible.
Yeah.
But if you hear those stories, like, they were all lining up to try to get him to transfer. And Damian was just a unique soul that is – I mean, we've had him on the air. You know how crazy loyal he is.
Yeah, he's very loyal.
And Weber
State.
Nobody
would have stayed with Portland as long as he's
no,
stayed.
And Weber State was one of the first to say, look, you can do this. We believe in you. Let's go. And he is incredibly loyal to that program. So just on the outside looking, I would say no. But that's the exception to the rule because that's just how Damian's wired. So I don't think he would have. But I think that's very rare. I don't think that happens very often.
And that might not be the full reason, and I doubt it is, but it might be a little sliver.
Yeah.
Kind of bummed that Randy Ray's deciding to call it quits.
I know.
I've always felt like that Weber State program was pretty darn consistent and a talking point.
How about this? He went 198-91 in Big Sky play. I mean, he almost wish he could have hung out for one more year so he could get to 200 wins in Big Sky. I mean, it's crazy what he was able to do as the head coach there at Weber State. Actually, and by the way, he had two losing seasons. 2019-2020, they had a losing season. But in nearly 20 years as a head coach at Weber State, only two losing seasons. That's a remarkable accomplishment. And they were, frankly, you could say they underachieved a little bit last year. They had a really good roster, and I know they were bringing back a lot of really good players this year, too.
Well, I hope he's not hearing that he's retiring for the first time right now. We've seen crazier things in the world of sports. where these big-time national guys get their hands on something and run with it. Which, by the way, as things stand currently, this is just a report
from Jeff Goodman.
Yep. Nothing official from Coach Ray, nothing official from Weber State. And like I said, I hope Coach Ray isn't hearing this for the first time.
Hands and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Coming up next, what you may have missed straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He's a former state champion Skyline Eagle, also a former Oak Ridge Olympian. He's our friend Bo Nagy with us here on Jake and Ben. What's up, Bo?
Wow.
I want to ask about playing corner in Coach Witt's system, because he's been able to go out and sell that to some really special players. Come to Utah and you're going to develop and be ready for the next level. Truly, truly special.
Individually, as a corner position, the majority of the calls were manned. And so the development that was needed, it was very imperative to have that. Corners will have a successful career at the University of Utah because of the linebackers that play there, because of the D-line that plays there. It's all not an individually based death rate or anything like that. It's all because of the entire unit on the field.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com. Time to watch every game or read every story. Fortunately, we do. Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It is that time. It's the PGA Championship. Still feels weird to be talking about a major championship in May, but here we are. By the way, what you may have missed brought to you by Built Bar. Hear this? Hans has brought me in a raspberry. Used to be my favorite. Now it's bat number two or three in that lineup.
Still incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But that birthday cake.
That birthday cake's number one.
Ooh.
What's your favorite?
The brownie batter.
Oh, okay, that's right. Mm. Built.com, promo code ZONE, gets you 10% off. Whether it's the puffs, whether it's the bars, get there now. That's Built.com.
Hey, I know we're going to talk a little bit about PGA Championship here.
Yeah.
I just saw this story. I was looking at OutKick. You, Trey Wallace writes for him. And he just put out a story that Tennessee has now changed their opener for 2023.
Yeah.
I didn't see this.
I just barely saw it. I saw it popping up in Twitter over the apparently BYU got kicked to the curb.
Well, they got a payout, $2 million buyout.
How much?
$2 million.
Ah, here you go. The women's tennis team, thanks you very much, Tennessee.
Wow, $2 million bucks? Tennessee just paid out $2
million. Yeah. So
they're going to take BYU, because remember, they were supposed to come to Lavelle Edwards Stadium to open up 2023.
Yeah.
And they announced that they're going to go play Virginia instead. And they were like, well, our fans can't really get into Provo.
They were never making that trip out here.
It looks like that was the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it was kind of a Notre Dame case. But instead of trying to reschedule down the line, they're like, well, maybe just take the $2 million. I don't know how all this stuff works, but that's what's being reported, Scotty. Says the next final.
No, yeah, that's going to happen.
So.
$2 million to BYU, though. You'll take that. I do think the, and look, here's the thing. I said when last week when we were talking about BYU canceling their schedules with Utah State, like, it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
You know, it makes sense. But I do think the moral whiplash of BYU fans from last week to this week.
Yeah.
How dare they cancel? They got a contract.
Tennessee.
Come on. You can get out of any contract. Come on. BYU wrote in their contract with Utah State that, hey, if we get to a conference, in particular P5 conference, we're done. Tennessee said, hey, look, if we don't want to play this game, we're going to write you a check for $2 million. Boom, we're done. That's why you have contracts and you have outs. And both teams have exercised those outs, and they're well within their rights to do so.
Well, it would have been a good team to have in Lavelle Stadium.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah.
To have that classic T on the helmet in that stadium would have been a lot of fun for BYU fans. But Tennessee opts to buy out. And my guess is it's $2 million. That was what was in the structured contract. If either one of these teams were to go away from that game, I can't imagine that BYU had any type of conference clause in the contract with Tennessee. So it's not like BYU could have got out. And they wouldn't have wanted to because they've already played at Tennessee.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson went in there and got the win.
Yep.
So
that probably didn't help your cause either. Probably some salty people over that one.
Yeah. So BYU is going to be dodging a weave a little bit for the 2023 opener.
And that's coming up, too. That's a hard... That's a hard slot to fill right there.
Ticket to
especially
replace.
A home game, too. You'll have a lot of people like, yeah, sure, come on over.
Yeah.
We'd love to have you. But also, too, like, I mean, let's be honest here. This might be a win-win for BYU.
Yeah, first season.
I know Cougar fans are probably a little cranky on this, but, okay, look, now I know Tennessee isn't great, but it's still SEC talent there. Mm-hmm. You're banking your first year in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to play Tennessee while you're transitioning into that conference?
Fans would love to see him in that stadium.
I know
the
fans
question
would,
is,
yeah.
Do you really want to see Tennessee?
Yeah, like, come on.
Is that how you want to open things up?
Honestly, I'd...
You know, if you open up things with a win, it'd be good momentum.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And a good win in that stadium.
But I think if you put a little true serum into Kalani just got a little bump to his budget, probably, and he doesn't have to play Tennessee.
And UNLV can make just a quick little trip on over.
Who does that? Well, you just bumped Utah State. Maybe like, hey, about that Utah State.
Hey.
What's up, mama?
I don't know. I know things ended pretty poorly a minute ago. But, you know, the night is long and we're lonely.
Just Tom texts. He goes, you up?
Anyway,
I would Dallas Radio has taken you guys over.
I'd love to see that game come back.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. Get the rivalry game back. Forget Tennessee.
Yeah.
Nobody needs them.
Hey, John. What's up? How you doing?
The ink's not even dry.
About last week. Yeah, about that.
Tom spills a bottle of whiteout on the paper. I don't know what happened. But since, you know, it's a fresh and a new.
Yeah, come on.
Why don't we start over?
Problem is, and that was a home game for BYU. And to try to replace a home game is going to be, like, anybody will say, yeah, come on over to our stadium. We'll take you. You can fill that spot real easy. But not a lot of people want to go to Provo to open up the season.
Mm-hmm. I was just hoping Tom wasn't like, and I'm taking this sweater.
That was my CD.
I've got full custody of the cat, and I'm taking this sweater.
Oh, boy.
Hartwell's like, all right, fine, but don't ever come back.
Really quoting that awful song.
Yeah. Oh, that's not an awful song.
Oh, it's a terrible song. No, that's a bad song.
What song?
Who sings it? I don't even know.
I want to say John Cena, but I think he's a wrestler.
John Cena, the wrestler?
John Cena's a hell of a... It's not a John Cicada, is it?
No, it's not a John Cicada. It's the guy that just married Nicole Kidman.
Oh, Keith Urban?
Yes. Thank you. It's Keith Urban.
Thinking it was Weezer and the sweater song?
No, but that's good radio.
That's great song right there.
Yeah, this Keith Urban song was just mediocre radio. But I'm hoping that things were amicable. I hope that it was like, hey, bygones will be bygones. 2023, how about you and I? Open up things. Sound fun to you?
Let's see, who else? Oh, they already have their 1AA opponent in Southern Utah.
Right.
FCS, sorry. So it can't, like, you just can't throw a... and that's the thing. A lot of these teams, I mean, you get your schedules done so many years in advance that it's tough to try to slate somebody else in there. So Arkansas is they're playing Arkansas on September 16th. You didn't want to play two SEC teams anyway. You're going to play a Big 12 schedule, and you're going to play two SEC teams? No.
No.
No, Kalani's Kalani's doing cartwheels right now.
Yes, he is. You know, you just get Utah State back if it's possible. You get him back. Is it Keith Urban? It was.
I already hate this song.
I knew what you were doing with those lyrics. I was like, really?
Hey, John. Hey, John. How are you? Hey, Gilbert, we're good. All right, cut it. Scott, you're putting Scotty in a bad mood, man.
Sucks. All right. Big T, Thurl Bailey joins us next. 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network.
Ever since you found yourself in someone else's arms, I've been trying my best to get along. But that's okay, there's nothing left to say. But take your records, take your freedom, take your memories, I don't need them. Take your space and take your reasons, but you'll think of